Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello geeks, this is Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media concierge. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Gusto. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll and benefits to small businesses across the country. They were even recently named Best Online Payroll by PC Mag. And as a Social Geek listener, you'll get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Sign up and give it a try at gusto.com/SGR. That's gusto.com/SGR. And joining me today to talk a little bit about sponsored content and branded content is Ashley Davidson of Fish Consulting. She's also a freelance writer, and she joins us right now on Social Geek. Hey, Ashley.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Everybody talks about content marketing. Some people talk about branded content. I hear the term sponsored content now and then, and I'm not sure that we're all on the same page with what sponsored content really is. So let's start there. Just what the heck is sponsored content?
So a lot of people are probably familiar with advertorials. Those in the past has been a word that mostly advertisers and marketers have known. It's very similar to that. However, sponsored content, as it's really evolved and how these paid editorial opportunities have evolved over the years, it's now looking more and more like editorial. Instead of it being written by an ad rep and being sent off to the publication, this sponsored content or branded content, as some people call it, it's being written by a journalist. They are interviewing the clients and different sources as if this was an actual earned piece of coverage or free piece of coverage, as we like to say. It looks more and more like editorial, where you may see a piece of sponsored content online, and unless you look closely, you may not know that it's sponsored.
And I'm thinking that people are aware, and you make it really aware, that this is a sponsored piece of content, and you know, obviously the thing on the page before it probably wasn't, because it didn't say so. I'm wondering, does anyone even really look at that, or do they even care if something is sponsored or not sponsored if it has good value to it?
I don't think most people care. I probably notice that things are sponsored because I'm in the industry, because I work for a public relations agency. Advertisers and marketers and in-house teams will probably know that it's sponsored. But most people, unless they look very closely, I don't think they realize it. But if it's a piece of engaging content, it has a good story, it's not overly promotional of a single brand or a single person, product, or service, I think that most people don't care. All they really want to do is be entertained, or they'd like to learn something.
Yeah, I'm also guessing that 20 years ago or more, this may have been an issue, you know, where people looked at something and said, oh, that's a blatant advertisement. How dare they, right? But since social media has come in and sort of flipped the script on how we consume any kind of information, I'm guessing there's not a huge uproar about having a page of sponsored content in the middle of, you know, some big newspapers and magazines. Let's actually talk about that. Where are we seeing this kind of thing these days, and where are you placing some of these pieces of sponsored content that you've worked on?
It's really everywhere. I looked into some of the publications that now do this, and there are more publications that have branded content studios than I really even knew existed. You can place branded content everywhere from a trade like Franchise Update Media to QSR Magazine, all the way up to the New York Times. There are different costs involved, of course, because one's national and others are, you know, very niche publications, but it's really everywhere. And I think that the number of publications that are doing this is growing every single day, especially as mainstream media outlets, really all media outlets, whether they're small or large, are trying to monetize their content. And they're looking for additional advertising opportunities so that they can stay afloat versus just the usual banner ads that a lot of people are just conditioned to ignore or not click on. You obviously click on them, but this is just another way to reach people in a way that's engaging, where people not necessarily, they don't want to click on a banner ad anymore.
Yeah. And this is not just in the print world, but it's in the online version of some of these major publications as well. We see those popping up more and more. Is that correct?
That's correct. They are just like any other article. You'll see them online. You'll see them in print. You'll see them shared on Facebook pages as well. I write, as a freelance writer, I write for USA Today's sponsored content studio. And I was just floored by how much engagement some of my stories have gotten on USA Today's Facebook page. They have to label it just per communications laws. They have to label that it's some sort of sponsored content. And they usually have tagged the brand that has been sponsoring it. So it'll say USA Today with, you know, X brand. But people, they're commenting on it. They're sharing it. They're liking it. They're loving it. There's so much engagement because, again, they don't even know that it's sponsored or they don't care. It's just a piece of engaging content that they're engaging with like they would any other piece of organic information on Facebook.
And I think there's some value in even saying, hey, this is sponsored by, you know, insert name of brand here, because now you're naming the brand and you're tagging the brand, and it's actually probably going to get more eyeballs than if you hadn't even, you know, raised the flag and said, hey, just to let you know, this is a piece of sponsored content. I think that actually works in the brand's favor.
Absolutely. Most of the time they're linking back, they're tagging the Facebook page. So if I was doing a piece with, you know, USA Today and a running store, for example, I would click right on that page and I could then immediately like that page or engage with it. So it's nice. And it's a way to get your brand out there to an audience where if you weren't paying for it, you may not get coverage in that publication.
Let's talk a little bit about that. How does this fit with the PR work that you do, and maybe with some brands that that don't have the opportunity to be in a major publication or even in a big trade publication right off the bat anyway? Is this like a catalyst for getting someone out there, or where does this sort of fit in with your PR and marketing mix?
It's definitely part of the PR and marketing mix. I think it is still so new. A lot of the larger agencies are likely doing this for sure because they have the clients with multi-million dollar advertising and marketing budgets. And some of these national publications, you can't even get any pieces of sponsored content unless you're willing to spend at least $50,000, which we can get into the whole pricing aspect of it. But some of these publications are literally charging an arm and a leg to get sponsored content out there. But it plays a very important role, I think, increasingly. If you have an announcement or a piece of news that maybe is not getting the traction that you thought it would, or maybe there's an outlet, like a national outlet, like I'll just say the New York Times, for example, where you say this announcement would be perfect in the New York Times. Their audience is absolutely the group that I want to reach. But there's no way that a reporter is going to write about it because it's too promotional, something like that. You can go to the sponsored content team, obviously for a price, and they will work with you to develop it into a piece that, you know, clearly not your press release that's going to run verbatim on the website because they're trying to make it more engaging. But these sponsored content teams are very, very talented in helping you take the messages that you want to share and creating these editorial-like stories that they know that their audience will engage with. So it's not a huge part of a lot of brands' PR strategies, but it's getting there. And I think as a lot of publications move toward this paid model where it's going to be less and less you're going to be able to get earned coverage, again, that free coverage that we're talking about, we're going to have to start looking at, okay, what role do the paid opportunities play?
I even wonder what the value for some of that earned or free coverage that people have counted on in the past, what's the value there if it's not being amplified by social media ads or ads in other places? I think part of this paid content model is you are amplifying it and you're actually getting it out in front of more people, or maybe the publication is doing that as part of their fee is that they're getting it out in front of more eyeballs than if it was just some small article back on, you know, page 8 or something like that.
Exactly. A lot of the sponsored content contracts that you end up signing, it depends on the publication, but most likely they will be amplifying that piece of coverage in a newsletter or on their Facebook page or on Twitter. Sometimes, depending on the content, there might be an opportunity to amplify it in an Instagram story, for example. So you are paying for it and you can likely negotiate, okay, what kind of amplification is this going to receive? For the earned coverage, we are always, always, always telling clients, you know, you need to PR the PR, so to say. It's once this story runs, don't just let it sit there. You know, we Fish will share it on our social media channels to reach all of our followers. We'll share it in our e-newsletter, and the brand should be doing the same thing. They should be sharing it on their social pages. They should be sharing it on both their personal and business social pages, the brand social pages. And yeah, there is that amplification behind it, where if you, with Facebook and the algorithms, and you know a lot more about this, sometimes you do need to put a paid boost behind that. So again,
absolutely.
The sponsor content, it kind of comes as part of that package. Sure, you're paying a lot, but they're also amplifying it immensely.
Yeah, even if you get something earned or some free coverage somewhere, it's got to be amplified somehow. You've got to take a few dollars and put it behind even an earned, quote unquote, free piece. The piece may have been free, but the viewership is no longer, you know, in an increasingly loud world, you've got to make some noise and rise above the crowd. So it sounds like this, you know, working with people who are already doing this on their own media platforms could be a good move for some of the brands that we've all worked with. You mentioned the price earlier. Can we talk a little bit about the budget? What are we looking at for some, you know, like some major national newspapers doing sponsored content?
Are you sitting down? Because these prices,
let me tell you. I'm just waiting for it. All right, here we go. Hit me.
Sit down. So I looked at several national consumer outlets. I looked at some of the national daily newspapers. It varies. I think that's the biggest thing, is that there's no set range that you could really say, okay, it's going to cost this much. But I saw everything from a minimum of $50,000, which I think, I can't remember which publication that was, but it starts at $50,000. And then there are some publications that go up to a minimum of $125,000, $150,000. So, and that's for like one or two pieces of sponsored content. So it's a lot of money, which also begs the question, what budget is this coming out of? Because a lot of PR budgets will not cover that. I couldn't imagine going to a client that's, you know, a mid-size or an emerging franchisor and saying, hey, $150,000 for the New York Times. I mean, they would fall over. So it really depends. A lot of people, you can start small. So you can start at that $50,000 kind of range, but still for a lot of brands, that's a lot. So you can get it for less in the trades. And that's also, I like the trades because it's a very niche audience and it's very focused. Whereas if you're doing something with a big publication like the New York Times, you're reaching a ton of people, but maybe, you know, 30% of them only care about what you're talking about. And the other 70%, they just kind of flip by.
Yeah. I like the idea of the trades doing this as well, because it's already somewhat targeted, that it's, you know, only people who are interested in a certain industry or a certain business structure or something like that. And then I think with the amplification of that on top of it, you can further target. So you're not even wasting any of the amplification dollars on the mass audiences. You're really targeting people who are in certain positions in certain industries. So, you know, that could keep your cost down. So $150,000 right off the top, that sounds a little expensive, but, it's still a fraction of a Super Bowl ad, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is.
And I would also say too, that it's probably a fraction of what brands have spent on traditional advertising in newspapers. I mean, I don't even know what traditional advertising in newspapers, I don't even know what that means anymore, right? You have a print ad that only people who are sitting in hotel lobbies are probably reading, right? I mean, to me, that's when I think traditional, I think of that, but this adds a whole new layer and maybe a whole new opportunity for some different types of brands out there.
Absolutely. And it gives, what I love so much about it is it just, again, it gives us an opportunity to reach audiences that we otherwise just could not reach. You know that everyone has this, you know, golden idea of where they want their coverage to be, but unless you pay for it, you're just not going to be able to get it. And I don't want to steer people wrong and say that it's not possible to get earned coverage. I think that you are going to get the earned coverage in the publications that you're going to get earned coverage in. But if there are others, and maybe there's maybe a different opportunity, sponsored content needs to start being weaved into our PR strategies, just because the industry is really going this paid way. For anyone who has ever complained about pay to play, it's unfortunately just going in this direction. But at least now you're getting it with the New York Times and, you know, USA Today and all these other very well-known publications where you know they have an engaging audience, versus, you know, paying a local news channel, for example, which I'm all about supporting the local news channel, but you're only reaching those people in that market, where these ones they have a much wider reach.
The cynic in me says that there's always a little bit of pay to play in anything that we do.
Always.
And now it's just, you know, part of the package, and you know, we can see it as an opportunity. Ashley, you and I both work a lot with franchised businesses and brands. Have you seen this work for franchise development and franchise sales? And is this something that we should be looking at in that area, or is it maybe not quite there yet?
I think that it's something that people should start considering for franchise sales. Most of what I have seen in sponsored content, at least over the last few months, has been very product focused, consumer product focused. It's been very service focused, but I think there's a huge opportunity in franchise sales, primarily because anyone who has tried to get an earned media coverage in a major business publication or a franchisee profile, it takes some very, very creative storytelling. Yeah. And my team has been very good at that. But I think that there is an opportunity to tell a story that maybe a traditional editor isn't inherently interested in. For example, a lot of the editors that we'll talk with, either at the local level or the national level, we're trying to get that message out there that, hey, we're recruiting. And that's everyone's problem. Everyone needs more franchisees. But sometimes the editors say, you know, that's not a news hook for my readers. So come back to us when you've signed a big deal, or you're expanding into a new city, or you have this big area developer, or you're going international. But we don't have that yet. It's kind of that chicken or the egg. Like, how do we get that coverage so that we can sign those big deals? So a great example is with Franchise Update Media, where they have this brand boost where for a few thousand dollars, you can get, I think it's a monthly story, you over, you know, 6 months, and you can really talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can get your message out there. You can talk about your great franchisees. You can talk about your different technology that you're using. And this is an opportunity to get stories out there that otherwise you may not be able to get them out there, just because the national business media, as editorial staffs, they shrink and they shrink and they shrink. It's been difficult to get somebody to pay attention just because they're just inundated with so many pitches every single day. Again, it takes very creative storytelling, and we're very good at that, but it's this sponsored content just plays a role. If we really have a publication that we want to get into, maybe look at a paid opportunity. Whereas, you know, on the traditional editorial side, they're just not going to consider it.
And I think looking at your opportunity in franchise development, looking at all of your opportunities one by one, there may be some that might not need this, but I'm guessing there are many who, as you said, don't have a great news story or a proven results package that they can show potential candidates out there. So having a way to sort of, you know, buy into the game when you're starting off, or you've got, you know, sort of something new to kick off and talk about, I think it's a good alternative to just, you know, hoping someone will look kindly on your article or your information and share it. But
right,
it doesn't always work that way.
Emerging franchisors. I think QSR Magazine has a chef Q&A. So if you're an emerging franchisor and you don't have, you know, nobody is paying attention to your chef because they're so new and they're just new to the industry and you're pitching. You know, you can look at a paid opportunity and say, okay, well, let's spend a few $1,000s and just get our chef out there. Like, it's something to start with. Again, if you have the creative storytelling, like you have an agency helping you, or if you have someone great in house that can kind of shop this interview around, that's fantastic. And there are definitely opportunities for earned coverage, but there, take a look at the trades, because there are definitely some paid opportunities out there that achieve the same goals and for not that much money.
And I would say for other trade publications that aren't spending a lot of time and resources and thought on this, they really should, because I see that's where in a B2B world, this could really make a difference for a lot of brands.
I agree completely. In B2B, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Where do you see it going from here, both B2B and for consumers? Is this growing rapidly? Have you seen steady growth? And where do you see the state of sponsored content later in 2019 and maybe in 2020? Where do you see it going?
I think it's only going to grow from here. I was a journalism student in college. I'm a freelance writer. I'm so, so very thrilled that the journalism industry has found something that people are paying for.
Yeah.
And I think if we've learned anything from the recession 10 or so years ago, and just the way that journalism crashed and staffs were being cut and a lot of newspapers went under. I mean, we have more news outlets now than ever before. And so they're all competing against one another. And I think that sponsored content is fantastic, and they're going to continue to leverage that income that can come in, because brands want to talk about themselves. At the end of the day, that's what it is. And brands are paying for it. So a lot of them are seeing this as a huge revenue grower. And these big publications like New York Times has the New York Times, I think it's called T Brand Studio. USA Today has its own brand studio. They have teams of dozens and dozens of people that are solely dedicated to helping brands create sponsored content. So I think it's only going to grow. I do think that they'll have to kind of reel in the prices at some point, because only large brands right now can afford it. Unless if you're an emerging brand, I don't know how you can pay, you know, $100,000 for these types of stories. So it's going to grow, much to the disappointment of a lot of smaller brands and PR teams that, you know, have made their living off of getting earned content. I think we really are going to have to start weaving this into our strategies, because we're going to increasingly run into publications that are saying, well, hey, you should go the sponsored content route, because it's just going to keep growing.
I tend to agree that there's so much opportunity here that someone is really going to make this a great industry on its own at some point, or it's going to be maybe a little part of every brand's PR and marketing mix. Maybe not ongoing, every month spending huge dollars on this, but for when there are special events or maybe kicking off a new product or something like that, I think this is a great alternative for a lot of brands. And speaking of sponsored, this episode of Social Geek is sponsored by Gusto. If you have a business or know someone who does, you probably know that small business owners wear a lot of hats. Some of those hats are great. Some of them, like filing taxes and running payroll, for example, not so great. That's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and simple management tools all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add on health benefits and even 401ks for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way modern small businesses work. But Gusto is. So let them wear one of your many hats. You've got better things to do. Social Geek listeners get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/SGR. That's gusto.com/SGR. One other quick note, we'll all be heading to Austin, Texas in October, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th for the IFA's Marketing Innovation Technology Conference, MITCON. And you can get more details on that at franchise.org. Ashley Davidson, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about sponsored content. I know a lot of our folks are going to have more questions and maybe seek a little advice from you on this subject. Where can we send people to chat?
You can visit us online on our website. It's fish-consulting.com. So fish-consulting.com. I also encourage everyone to visit us on Instagram at instagram.com/fishconsulting so that you can follow all of our fun stuff in the office.
Oh, very cool. I'll put links to that as well as the website on socialgeekradio.com, and people can find you there. Thanks so much for joining us today, Ashley. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so, so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.